for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, May the 29th, 1993, Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Jack and Carol Canada of Phoenix, Arizona, are the ministers of the afternoon. I'm going to put the Canada family up here and turn them loose to do whatever the Lord has for us this afternoon, and I'm sure you'll be blessed. You know, when I first came here, I really didn't realize that I'd even be doing what I'm doing right now, let alone ever teaching and ministering. But I find that the Lord has laid, and we have ministered, and as the Lord leads, we will yet minister across the country wherever we're asked to come. And but I never thought, or in my wildest imagination, that I would ever be doing that. Well, I have somebody else that's going to minister this afternoon who likewise never thought that she would ever stand and do what she's going to do today. But the Lord makes us willing to be willing,
yeah.
And then He uses us for His glory if we'll be willing to be willing. Carol, Jack Cannon.
Thank you.
God's good, isn't He? I was thinking about baptism. I used to be an elder in one of our churches in Phoenix for about 8 years before I went into ministry full-time with my wife. And one of my responsibilities, I was the guy that did the baptizing. We had our church about 7,000 people at that time. And there was a lot of folks baptizing. So we had a baptism, it was like a big tank, you know how they are, up high, lifted up. And the right side, the stairs would come down. That's where the boys, girls would come. And the right, left side, the boys would come down. And this particular Sunday morning, they had a lot of the young people that came in to get baptized, kids. I mean, you're just kids. And I had about 30 to 40 of them, and boys. And half of them, I'm looking at them, half of them don't even know what you're here for. But Grandma said, go get baptized, so they go get baptized. You know what I'm saying? And then someday, hopefully, they'll realize themselves what it's all about and come on in, you know. But it's better than being on the streets. So I'm sitting here, I have my robe on, you know, waiting for him. I looked up, and there's young kids back there. And I motioned for the young boy to come on down like this, and all these people out there. And I turned to look back up, and he's like this. He's just like this, getting ready. And he was coming off the stairs. Just when I went, ha! You know? And he cannonballed right in front of me. Kahoo! Man, water came up, went over my head, messed up my ball spots and everything. Man, there I sit all wet, just looking at everybody. How many of y'all know that he got baptized? That young boy stayed under a while, I guarantee you. Yes, sir, I baptized that young man. I think he's still wet. But, you know, I just had to think about that. How many know it's fun to laugh sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
And God knows how to make us laugh and put us in circumstances. We just got to be, you know, we laugh at each other once in a while. And it's not a put down, it's just that's the way it is. And I've been laughed at a few times myself. But, you know, the devil comes to disturb folks. Amen? And it never fails that whenever we begin to minister or get ready to minister somewhere, there's always something that pops up that tries to disturb us. And we're finally catching on. You know, that the devil just don't want us to... See, he'll attack you where your anointing is. See, wherever your anointing is at, that's what he'll attack to shut down. See? My wife's going to minister in a few minutes. She's going to minister on fear, by the way. Sister. Preparation has a purpose. He's preparing you for a purpose. And those things that you have within you that get you like this, he wants out. And I'm talking about me, too. And as we get these things out, then we won't get like that. We can walk through. This is my wife. I love her so much.
Jack and I had the privilege of going to a United Methodist church in March in Ohio, Lima, Ohio. And the church was over 100 years old. And it was just beautiful and very traditional. It had a woman pastor. She was very proper and educated, intelligent, and beautiful. And when we went there, she had everything written down, the times that we were to do this, we were to pray, we were to speak our little sermon, minister to little children. It was all within minutes. And so we went in there not knowing what in the world to expect. So Jack sang a couple of songs, and then he let me minister that morning. And I ministered a little bit of what I'm going to minister today. And then we gave an altar call. And those people flocked to that old altar, and they began to weep and cry at that old altar. I knew tears hadn't touched that altar probably for 50 years. And they began to weep and cry, and I went on this end and began to pray for people, and the pastor was right on my arm. She had my arm, and she was agreeing in prayer with me, with every one of those people. And when I finished praying for the last one, she turned around to me in front of all of her congregation, and she grabbed me by my suit and said, "Pray for me. I need prayer. Pray for me." And she began to weep and cry. Her hands went up in the air. And Deanna, who ministers with us, was with us, and she began to pray, and I began to pray, and God set that precious lady free. Hallelujah. And when she dismissed, yes, amen. When she dismissed the service, she went up there and she had a little hat on, and it was all messed up, and she had mascara, and she was just snotting around and blowing her nose, and she said, "God has sent these people to this church for me today." Hallelujah. She said, "I'll never be the same." Hallelujah. So when I think of a Methodist church, I have good feelings. God's doing something in every denomination. Can you say amen? He is. Hallelujah. It seems that God uses Jack and I probably more in denominational churches than he does in the charismatic and non-denominational churches. So that excites me. I think that's absolutely wonderful. Well, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time this afternoon because you've had a wonderful day of being taught, being preached at. I've had a stirring in me from Dee Dee's message this morning. I'm ready. I'm like I think of tenacity, I think of a bulldog. And I think, I am ready. I'm ready to go out there and take what's rightfully mine. Amen? And we also have a wonderful service for tonight with Tommy, and he will bless you. But I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy. And I'm going to share with you a message that I do share frequently, but it's a message, maybe this is my mission for a few years. And I'm going to minister on being delivered from fear. And I feel in my heart that we take fear too lightly. We don't realize the seriousness of fear. It is a deadly enemy. Say that. Fear is a deadly enemy. It will destroy you. It will cause sickness. It will cause disease. It will hinder every part of your life. And as long as you allow it to stay in you, you will not grow spiritually any further than the fear that's within you. And God is setting his people free from fear. And I guess that's a burning desire of my heart, even at this camp, is to see you set free from fears. Because I know I can see it on your countenance. I know because I've been there. And like Jack said and Brother Glenn, I lived a life as a Christian in bondage to fear. In bondage to fear. I was saved when I was 7 years old and baptized in the Holy Ghost at 9. I used to preach in my neighborhood, in my backyard, to all my friends, and I'd make them get saved along with my two brothers. I'd make them get saved every time I preached. I'd make them come up and do the whole thing, just like my pastor when I was 9 years old, because I was so full of the Holy Ghost. I was a witness, literally, at 9. But then when I got older and began to become more self-conscious, then fear began to really take hold of my life. And it shut me down and hindered me. And people would have called me a bashful or shy person. And in reality, that's what I thought my personality was. How many of you think that sometimes could be your personality? See, we think that. We grow up acting a certain way, and we think that's our personality. But I'm here to tell you that God has an identity for every one of us. An identity in Christ that I don't even know yet who I am. I know that I'm a child of God and I'm joint heirs with Jesus. I know that. But as far as my identity in Christ, I don't yet know what it is. And when people try and put a label on what my part of the ministry is or what I'm supposed to do, I just want to just scream and say, don't label me. Don't contain me. Don't call me a teacher. Don't box me in. Don't, like Brother Jack said last night, don't label me. Because I don't know yet what I am. And I am growing in the knowledge of the Lord. And as I grow, I believe God will just broaden my ability by His Holy Spirit. So when they try and label you, don't let them do that. Because it'll contain you and it'll box you in. Sometimes we need to know I'm a teacher so you can be a good student. But you know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be contained because I was contained for 31 years of my life. I was contained and in bondage to fear. I would walk in a room like this and feel so inferior. I never felt equal with anyone else. I would measure myself among others, and I would always come up deficient. I would always come up less than everyone else around me. I was insecure. And you know, the kicker to all this is I didn't know it. How many of you know that sin blinds you? And I remember when Jack and I first went into deliverance, no one was there to help us. I was awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by James Robison preaching. In 1983, he was preaching on that television, and I had gone to sleep with the TV on. And here he was with that long finger preaching and out of Jeremiah. And boy, I tell you, he was preaching repentance. And I remember I was sitting up as much as I could in the bed. And it was like I was just pinned up against the wall. And I said, oh, my God, that's me. That's me. That's me. He's preaching to me. That's me. I have those things in me. And I began to weep and cry. And he preached me into repentance. How many of you know every time this word is preached, it needs to bring us to repentance and change in our lives? And that's how that began. Deliverance. So we had to go to one of those conferences at James Robison's in Dallas, Texas, because I had to have more. He stirred up something in me. I had to have more. And I remember afterwards, Jack says, God's leading us into a deliverance ministry, Carol. And I said, Jack, can't we pick something better than that? All I could think of was, ooh, all the ugly things that you hear about. And I said, I don't think we want that one. Let's find something else. And that's how much I knew about a calling of God. And I knew nothing. And so he said, I don't know, Carol. He went to every pastor on our staff and everyone he knew at our church. He said, I believe God's calling us to be in deliverance and to cast out demons in the body of Christ. Can you help us? Well, they took his name and work number and said, if we get one of those cases, we'll call you. Well, needless to say, we didn't get any calls, did we, Jack? Because he wanted to train under them, see? And it was nothing against them. They just hadn't walked into that realm yet, a revelation of being delivered. So we had to find them. Jack says, well, we waited 1 year, I believe 6 months or 1 year, and nobody called. And so he said, well, I think we better start working on each other. We're just going to learn. If God wants us to go to Oral Roberts, we will, university or whatever. But he said, we're just going to start learning on one another. So I said, okay. I said, well, I'll yield to you if you yield to me. And I'll tell you what I think you have in you. Yeah. If you tell me, and I'll let you tell me what's in me. Well, he said, well, let's just start right now. And so he caught me, literally, I was not ready. And he said, honey, you're full of insecurity. And something rose up in me. I said, insecurity? What are you talking about? I said, I'm not afraid of anybody. I said, and I don't need anybody. I don't need you or anybody else. I'm not insecure. And I just went beside myself. It was awful. And I had to just stew for a couple of days. And I finally, I said, well, if I've got it in me, let's get it out. And we worked on one another. And I would point out things in him. And boy, it's worse. We hadn't killed each other, huh, honey? I mean, really, And I remember the very first spirit. Now, listen, I was raised, I was saved in a Baptist church. And my father took us to the Assembly of God when I was about 8 years old. And so we were raising Assembly of God, and they don't believe in this stuff. And so I had a lot of things to unlearn, amen, as some of you do. And so when we were going on a trip, I got car sick all the time. Now, Jack would drive, and when he would go and sing, you know, he would sing on weekends or minister, I would try and go with him. But what would happen to me is I'd get car sick. So we would be a mile down the road, and I would literally, I said, pull over, and he'd have to slam on the brakes, and I'd open the car door and just throw up all over the curb. I couldn't even wait to get to a bathroom. And I would be dizzy and a car sickness, and what it was fear in me. But I didn't know it was fear. That went on for 15 years, I was car sick. We would try and go. That's why I never hardly went with him anywhere. It wasn't worth it to me to go with him, and I would have to spend half my time in the bathroom of the church. And then I'd come out looking like deaf and pale, and they'd wonder, what's wrong with your wife? And they would just pity me. Everybody would pity me. And, you know, nobody prayed for me, but they all felt good and sorry for me. So I remember we were going to Dallas, Texas, and we were a mile down the road on Bell Road, and Jack was driving our van. And I said, Jack, I don't believe that Christians can have demons. I really don't. I believe that's really error. But if I do, that's causing this car sickness. I said, I want you to pray. And if it's God, it'll come out of me. And so he said, okay. And he was driving down the road, and he pointed his finger hand over to me, and he said, in the name of Jesus, I command that sickness and nausea to come out of my wife in Jesus' name. And that spirit was in the pit of my stomach, and it rose up like in an elevator. It rose up in my throat, and my throat swelled up. I mean, it was swollen. And I was like, oh, my God, I got a demon. I went absolutely nuts. And I said, I was doing every kind of breathing, and, you know, you've learned as a woman. I was doing everything I know to do to get this thing out of me, and I couldn't breathe. And I was red, and I said, oh, my God, Jack, it's in me, and it's stuck. It's in my throat. It's in my throat. And he said, come out of her, come out of her. Well, it just wouldn't go. It was lodged. And all I could do is plead the blood. I'd plead the blood. Plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I've got a devil in me. And then that thing would ease back down. It eased back down, and I'd be okay, but I was still sick. I said, I've got to throw up. But if I throw up, that means it's still in me. And I was so confused. So I held that nausea for 2 days till we got to Dallas. And when we drove up to his sister's house, I literally ran into her bathroom. And I threw up. And what I threw up had what that spirit had manifested in the pit of my stomach. And I want you to know something. The moment it came out, life came into me. And I felt like I'd been healed of something miraculous. But that bitterness and whatever it was in me in the pit of my stomach came out of me. And I have not been car sick since. And that was 1984, wasn't it? 1984. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I don't always get manifestation. In fact, I hardly ever. I think when I come here, I yawn more than, I yawn. But I know that spirit's leaving me, and I welcome it. But I usually don't get manifestations when I get delivered. But God knew that I needed to know that that was real. That this little Assembly of God girl needed to know that my husband had not gone off the deep end. This was real. And that is exactly what happened. And I was convinced from that day forward. I said, well, and I thought that's all I had in me. I thought, that's it. I said, well, the church needs this, Jack. He said, well, we need a little bit more work first. So needless to say, we've been working on it ever since. Amen. And so I want you to turn, and if you're already there, at 2 Timothy, and I just want to share with you a little bit about fear. Hallelujah. How many of you know knowledge precedes deliverance? The more you understand, and more you know and understand how these spirits work in your life, the greater your deliverance. That's why sometimes you have to pray over certain things many times. Do I have to pray over this fear again? I've prayed over this thing hundreds of times. But the more you understand how it works in your life, the greater your deliverance will be. And it will be lasting, I promise. It will be lasting. Now in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, I'm going to begin to read in verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Now, this is a letter from Paul to Timothy. Paul was in an old Roman jail, and he was fixing to die, and he knew it. And he wanted to write Timothy a letter before he died. So he's writing a personal letter to Timothy. Verse 4, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Hallelujah. Now, when I did a study, I love 2 Timothy. If you've been around me any long, you'll know I always minister in 2 Timothy. I have several messages the Lord has given me, and the revelations God's given me that's changed my life. And what better way to minister to you today than to be transparent? You know, when people are willing to be transparent and to be open and let you see those things that God has delivered us from, it helps. It works, doesn't it? The more transparent we are, I believe it'll bring on a greater anointing in our lives. But I was reading this, and I saw how God wants each one of us to be a godly influence in the world that we live in. Wherever you are, wherever your workplace is, in your home, whatever you do in your church, he wants you to be a godly influence. Yeah. And that's what Paul was to Timothy. That's what Timothy's mom and grandmother were. They were a godly influence to Timothy. Now, I did a little bit of history of reading about Timothy. And Timothy was raised by his mother and his grandmother. His father was, some theologians say his father was a Greek pagan. And he was a Gentile. He was a non-believer. And apparently he must have died when Timothy was young. Well, when Paul went on his very first missionary journey, he met Eunice and Lois and Timothy. And Timothy was a little boy. And he literally led them to Jesus. And they accepted Jesus as the Messiah. And so he frequently visited them. And so he took Timothy under his wings, and Timothy became a spiritual son to him. So he imparted literally his very life into Timothy. He imparted to him. He loved Timothy, and he was with him as much as he could. He was his spiritual son. But Timothy's mother and grandmother had an unfinished faith, I believe the King James says. It was a sincere, genuine faith. How many of you know our kids know what kind of faith we have in God? You can't fool children. Kids know if you have a sincere faith in God. They know when daddy gets angry on Friday night and blows up and leaves home and doesn't come in till late in the morning hours. They know, but yet Sunday he's the usher of the church. Say you think they know things like that when mom just rants and raves all the time or tries to control and is angry and is bitter. Kids know that. And that's why a lot of our children have grown up in a Christian home but gone away from the Lord. Not always, don't get me wrong, because this is not condemnation, but they're trying to find for themselves a sincere faith. And many times they go the way of the world. But kids know where we have a sincere faith, and I'm guilty. My faith was not sincere raising our son. I was like an emotional yo-yo in my walk because of my fears and my insecurities and my rejections. Yet I was a Christian and I loved God. But yet I wasn't stable. I wasn't stable in my Christian walk. And that's what Timothy, thank God, he had a mother and a grandmother who had a sincere, unfinished faith. And it was not hypocritical. They practiced what they preached. They walked in it. And so when they spoke, he knew it. And they raised him in the law of Moses. They raised him in the ways of God. Well, Paul's influence over Timothy was tremendous. And I want to read to you a little bit about history of Paul. And I hope you shout like I shout when I read this. But Paul was a godly influence to Timothy. Many were ashamed of Paul in his chains. How many of you know that by reading the New Testament? His life had been one of suffering and labor for Christ. Now, from all appearance, he had been abandoned by his friends, and then he was left in the hands of ruthless men when he was writing this letter to Second Timothy. He was a prisoner in chains, yet he was triumphant over all and unshaken in his faith. He felt no evil and feared no man or devil. Sin had lost its power over Paul, and death had lost its sting, and grave had lost its victory, and hell had lost its torment. Hallelujah. No murmuring came from his lips or bitterness from his heart. He was a man's man and God's faithful servant, ready to die for the cause of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He overcame being forsaken. He overcame opposition from people who rejected the truth that he proclaimed. He overcame the fear of death. He overcame loneliness and a confinement to prison, which he was a prisoner many times. Paul had to stand before Nero. Now, Nero was a homosexual schizophrenic maniac. In that day, a man so demon-possessed that he dipped Christians in hot tar. And while they were still alive, he would put them on a pole in his garden and put a torch to them. And he would light up his garden with these Christians. And he was the ruler in Rome, Nero. And Nero had one ambition in life, and that was to kill and destroy Paul. And finally, Paul was in his grips in prison. But Paul writes in the fourth chapter, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. See, even though he was a prisoner in chains naturally, he knew he had been delivered from the mouth of the lion, the spiritual lion. How many of you know Satan is called a roaring lion? And Nero was his instrument at that time. But Paul didn't fear him. And I can see old Nero every day. He would probably taunt Paul in prison. And he'd walk up and down that old jail cell, and he would look at Paul and say, if you would just reject this Jesus and quit preaching this gospel, I'll let you go free. If you just deny this gospel, deny your faith, you'll live. But Paul wouldn't do it. He wouldn't listen to him. Hallelujah. And I can hear Paul tell Timothy, Timothy, we can make it. We can win this race and finish this course. With God, all things are possible. Timothy, don't let that fear in you hinder you and allow you to shrink back. We can make it, Timothy, and that's what the purpose of this whole letter was. And it's a letter that I believe was written how many years ago, but it's a letter that God is speaking to his church today. We can make it, church. We can win the battle over sin, death, hell, and the grave. We can win this. God is changing us, and he is more powerful. God is more powerful than the enemy. He's more powerful than the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The apostles wrote the gospels after the flesh. And what I mean by that is they saw Jesus in his humanity. They walked with Jesus. They saw him get up in the morning and go to bed at night. They saw him in his humanity. Do you understand? They saw him when he carried his cross, some of them from a far away. But they saw the crown of thorns on his head. They saw the blood dripping down his face. They saw him in his humanity. And they wrote the gospels after that. But Paul saw him in the spirit. Paul was caught up in the spirit. How many of you know that? In the third heaven, and he was given revelation knowledge of who Jesus was. He wrote 75% of the New Testament. He repeatedly wrote in Galatians, my gospel, my gospel. He's preaching my gospel because he had received it in the wilderness. He had received it at a place that God had revealed it to him. Hallelujah. He didn't learn any of this in a seminary or a Bible college. Amen. But he was a man of the Holy Spirit in revelation knowledge. He wrote about Jesus after the Spirit, and that's why his letters are so alive to us today. When we can grab hold of it in revelation, they'll change your life. Amen. Paul saw powers and principalities crushed under the feet of Jesus. He saw that Jesus came, what Jesus came to do on that old cross. He saw him all of his glory sitting at the right hand of the Father as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He saw him as the commander-in-chief of every army, and he saw him as a victorious champion. Hallelujah. And that was the godly influence upon Timothy. Now, I want to go on because I'm not going to keep you on. We're going to pray over fear today if you haven't guessed it already. Amen. But in Timothy, he's saying in verse 6, he said, Paul says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that's within you. Now, that gift there in the Greek means fire. There's a fire of God within every one of us. You see, Timothy was naturally timid and shy. And he was talking about the gift that was imparted to Timothy. It was a charisma gift that was imparted to Timothy back in 1 Timothy when he was ordained to be in the ministry. And the presbyters and all those, they laid hands on Timothy and they imparted the gift. And that gift, that's the one he's talking about. But he said, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's within you. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Now, how many of you know when you have a fire in a fireplace and you don't stir up and add fresh fuel to that fire, what'll happen to that fire? It'll go out, won't it? And that's what he was telling Timothy. He said, because Timothy was showing signs that the persecution in that church in that hour was causing fear in all the Christians. And Timothy was shrinking back. That's why he said, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't shrink back. That fear, if you allow it to stay in you, Timothy, it will hinder you. And it will cause the gift that was imparted to you to go out and become useless. So God that's within us, people, they will become useless. The gift will become useless. Miles Monroe is a teacher, a great teacher, and I heard him recently say on one of his teachings on TBN that the graveyard holds great treasures. It holds treasures of sermons never preached. Amen. Of paintings never painted. It holds treasures of miracles that were never received. There are treasures, all kinds of treasures in the graveyard. But God doesn't want us to go to our grave if we do. With the gifts that God has imparted to us. Because every one of you have been called. God has an anointing for every one of you. The anointing of God is not just for preachers or evangelists or teachers. The anointing of God is for the body of Christ. For every one of you. And when I realized that, I began to cry out, say, I want that anointing. I want to know that anointing. I want what is mine. I want what God has made provisions through Jesus on that cross. I want that anointing. Yes. Hallelujah. Do you want it today? Yes. Do you want to know your anointing? Some of you know some of your gifts, but I'm here to tell you, don't let anybody just tell you have one gift. I believe that there are many gifts in us. There are abilities in all of us. And for some reason, God is calling this particular group and this particular camp because there's obviously some great ministers in the congregation that He's trying to speak to us, even through what Didi preached this morning, to be tenacious for what God has given us. And He's telling you through me today that God has given you an anointing and there are gifts within you. And that the fear, if you let it stay in your life, it will hinder you. It will put the fire out in you and it will cause you to be useless as a Christian in this life. And I don't want to go to my grave not making some kind of influence on somebody's life. Hallelujah. I want to be what God's called me to be. I want to be all that He's called me to be. Hallelujah. And I shared a little bit the first night about me being delivered, if most of you remember that, from fear. Well, that was only a beginning. When that spirit of fear, Jack was singing that song, it lifted off of me. When it lifted off, all of a sudden I could see my whole life was in fear. Everything I did was out of a root of fear. Everything. I had fears of being alone in a house by myself. I had fears of the future. Fear of being rejected. Man-pleasing. I mean, I did everything for everybody. Anybody want anything done, I'd do it. I'd do it. So I'd be liked. That's all I had to offer. I figured my gift was helps. Has anybody put that one on you? There's nothing wrong with that. But I said, be my luck, when I get to heaven, I'll probably have to work in the kitchen, do kitchen duty. See, do you understand that? I was contained in a box. Well, Carol, you've got the gift of helps, the charisma gift of helps. Well, that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that, but God has more.
Yes.
He has more
yes.
for all of us.
Yes.
Don't contain me. Say that. Don't contain me. I don't know yet who I am. Say it. I don't know yet who I am, but I'm going to know. Hallelujah. I'm going to know who I am. Praise God. Amen. Well, anyway, I began to see it after I'd been delivered or that weight had... How many were not here the first night? Okay. Well, Jack sang this song or wrote this song, Deliverance. And in this, the lyrics of that song says, Spirit of fear, walk away from me in the name of Jesus. I've been set free. And so I would, like Jack say, I'd always sit in the back row and sell tapes. And, what if he'd ever introduce me or something, I would just panic. But he sang every Sunday at our church for a Sunday school class, like of 450 people. It was huge. And he did all the music for 10 years. He did that. Well, I would sell tapes every Sunday. That was my job. Well, that particular day, somehow the back row had already been taken. So I ended up on the third row in the middle of all these people. And he began to sing that song for the very first time, Deliverance. Spirit of fear, walk away from me in the name of Jesus. I've been set free. And I was just chewing gum or whatever I usually do on Sunday morning at that time in my life, not really into it too much. And I heard an audible voice, audible, right here, say to me, stand up and be set free. And it was so loud, I looked back at the man behind me because I thought he had said that to me. And I realized it wasn't him, and fear just gripped me. I thought, what in the world? And then I heard another voice back here say, stand up, stand up and make a fool out of you. Make a fool out of yourself. Your husband needs all the help he can get. Go ahead, stand up. Well, I recognize that as the enemy. That was Satan trying to stop me and hinder me. And I said, Lord, I don't know if I have fear in me. I don't really know. But if I do, I want it out. I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of the church games. I'm tired of just playing little silly church games. Aren't you tired of it? And so with every ounce of energy, I closed my eyes and I made myself stand up in front of all those people with everything in me. And I stood up, and as I did, my hands went up in the air. And something broke inside of me, probably a chain of bondage. And I felt a 150-pound weight lift off of me that I never knew I had carried until it was gone. And immediately I just began to cry and laugh at the same time. Well, I think everyone that day was touched. The whole place kind of went wild as the Holy Spirit moved through that Sunday school class. But when I went home that afternoon, and the next morning was Monday, and I started my same routine. And my routine, I was by myself. Jack had gone to work. And I double-locked the front door, and I locked the back door. And I turned three televisions on in the house, and I began to take a bath, brought my little TV in the bathroom. And I drew my bath water, and as I got in there, all of a sudden, I was relaxing and just enjoying my bath, and I heard noise through the vents, like little munchkins, you know, just talking like this. And it was so, and then I heard someone run across the roof like reindeer, like that. And the fear gripped me, and I began to hyperventilate. Have you ever had an anxiety attack? My throat was swelled up, man, I tell you. And I was so scared. And I said, my God, what is this? I thought I got rid of that thing yesterday at church. What in the world is going on? And all of a sudden, I heard someone, as if someone walked in the living room, opened the door, and they slammed it just like that. And the house shook. And it sounded like the TV in the living room was someone's changing the channels. And I said, oh, my God. And all I knew to do, something gripped me. And I got out of that tub and put my robe on. And I said, devil, out loud. I said, you better hope it's a burglar. Because if it's not, you've had it. You've had it. Yes. And I meant it. I never talked out loud by myself before. And I grabbed that doorknob in that bathroom, and I opened it up just like I was Rambo. Yeah. And I walked out in that closet, and you could feel silence. And somehow I must have seen in the spirit for the first time in my life, but I knew those demons were up against the wall like this, holding their breath. And I began to say, in the name of Jesus, I command every demon to leave this house. I command you to get off the roof of my house. I command you to go in the name of you have bound me all my life, and I will not let you come back. You will not torment me, nor will you live in this house. And I went into bedrooms, and I began to ruffle the clothes, say, come out of there in the name of Jesus. And I went into the kitchen and in the laundry room, and I got a broom. And I opened the front door, and I opened the back door, and I got the broom after him, and I began to sweep him out. I swept him out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, the hair on my arm stood up. I had never experienced an anointing before in my entire life. I thought anointing was volume, or if the preacher got to preaching real fast, he was anointed. I didn't know what the anointing was. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I began to speak in tongues, and I went through every inch of that house, and I declared that house was God's house, and I wasn't going to come back under the bondage of fear, that he was a liar, and I commanded him to loosen my son and to loosen my husband and to get out of my house in the name of Jesus. And I tell you, I went crazy. But you know something? A warrior spirit was birthed in me that very hour in that tub. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I've been fighting devils ever since. Hallelujah. And I like a good fight sometimes. It keeps you, like Brother Jack, I like to hear his war stories, because I can see myself in those C-52 planes and ready to take on a principality. But you've got to understand where I've come from. I was wimpy. I was sick. I was physically ill and dying of diseases in my body. I was on $125 worth of medicine a month. Back then, 10 years ago, that's probably like $500 today. I had bleeding ulcers, and I had a low back disability for life. I still have it, supposedly, in the state compensation or something. I had migraine headaches, vascular headaches, high blood pressure. My thyroid was removed because of a tumor. A total hysterectomy at 21 years old. I was the youngest woman in the state of Arizona to have a hysterectomy. They had 9 doctors come in and interview me to make sure I wouldn't go off the deep end. But I want you to know the devil played havoc with my life. He walked all over me, and I let him. I was like a smooth highway, it talks about in Isaiah. And he just walked all over me, and I let him because I didn't know any better. And I didn't, my own self, I couldn't do anything any differently. It took the Holy Ghost. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. Timothy, you're not that old person anymore. Because in our carnal nature, we're kind of timid, aren't we? Yeah. You can't be bold as a lion if you're in your carnal state. Amen. It takes the Holy Ghost to make you bold as a lion. Yeah. And the righteous are as bold as lions. Yeah. Isn't that what the Word says? Hallelujah. Yeah. But it took the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is in you. If you're a child of God, that same Spirit that raised Christ's dead body from the grave dwells in you. And there's gifts in there, and all you got to learn to stir it up. Paul didn't say, I stir up the gift. He said, you stir up that gift. That's your job, Timothy. You stir up that gift. You're the recipient of that gift. You take care of it, and you use it. You use it. And I tell you, looking over you, there are preachers out here. There are evangelists out here. There are women who are teachers of the gospel and preachers. There's prophets out here in this congregation. There's intercessors out here. Hallelujah. There are gifted people. There are artists out here and creative. There's musicians out here. There are all kinds of gifted people out here in this audience. And it's time you realize who you are in Christ. And you learn to stir up the gift. I mean, I literally stir it up. I stir up this, her preaching, Dee Dee's preaching stirred me up this morning. Yes. Didn't you feel stirred up?
Oh, yes.
That's what we're talking about. It takes the Holy Ghost to stir it up, but add fresh fuel. Some of you men have been in the same place in your work for years, and you've been overlooked in promotion. You've not grown spiritually. Did you know if you don't change that you embrace death? You have to change in order to live.
Amen.
Even the corporations know that. They got to change their product constantly or they'll die out. We have to learn. We've got to change. You've got to change in your marriage. You've got to change in your relationship with God or you'll die. Or you'll die. And I tell you, God wants to do something to you. He wants to break that bondage of fear. Do you understand fear a little better now? Let me read some fears, then we're going to pray. Self-pity is a very strong fear. fear of death, fear of cancer, fear of man, insecurity, fear of failure, so you don't even try. See? Fear of rejection, fear of being abandoned. Some of you women are so afraid that you're going to be abandoned by your spouse, your husband, that you live in fear. You know, in Job, it says that what I feared came upon me. The thing I dread befalled me. Fear will work like a magnet. It'll draw those things to you that you're afraid of. How many of you have learned that? Yeah, I just knew it. I have seen that over and over. People will be so afraid of cancer. There's a fear, such a fear of cancer that it's like they draw it. I think it's other things other than fear that causes that, but that fear is powerful. And what is not of faith is sin. What's the opposite of fear? Faith. And what's not of faith is sin. Amen? That's what the Word of God says in Romans. Inadequacies, worry, jealousy. Jealousy and envy, the root of it's fear. Fear of losing what you have. Depression, hopelessness, and discouragement. Some of you have tried to go on with God and, boy, I'm going to serve God now, and you get knocked back down. You go maybe for a week or two doing pretty good, and pretty soon you're right back where you were. And a lot of it is we go back to our place after leaving a wonderful camp like this. We go back to where we came from in our own surroundings, and we get sucked right back down into that power and the peer pressure, whether it's at work or at home or friends. But a lot of it is because you don't have the faith that you need and the boldness to stand and be a witness for God. God wants to set you free today from fear. It might be a process for some of you because there might be all kinds of things that entwine your life. But if the main strong man of fear can be broken, the other ones are easier. And we're going to deal with that. And if you want to be free from fears, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. The Word of God says fear is torment. It also says that perfect love casteth out all fear. A lot of you do not believe that Jesus really loves you. You believe what you read in the Bible, but you've really never really experienced it down in your heart. And it's very hard to serve a God who you're not convinced really loves you. Am I right? That's right, isn't it? But I want you to know that God is going to reveal His love to you. If you make up your mind, you want to be free. If you really make up your mind, I'm tired of living like this, I want to be free, then God will deliver you from fear in the name of Jesus. And He will reveal His love to you because fear is like a wall. It won't let anyone in that area. It's a wall that imprisons you. How many of you are tired of it? I believe you are. But you want to go on and be. You want those promotions at work because you've earned them. You want to go on. You want to get involved in your church so you can be profitable for the kingdom of God. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. And look right at Jesus. Father, we pray right now that your Holy Spirit would come down, Father, as waves into this place. Father, we're wanting to be free from fears, Lord. There's so many of them, God, but you know our hearts and you know our needs, God. And I'm asking, God, that the anointing for deliverance would come. An anointing for healing would come into this place. I'm asking, God, right now that you cleanse every one of them of this fear, God. The generational fears, God. We go back 10 generations, 20 generations, 100 generations where fear has held in bondage these people. Now, I want you to all repent after me, okay? Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I want to be free. I'm tired of living as a prisoner to fear. I want to know who I am. And I want deliverance. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for all the years I've yielded to fear. I've lived in fear. I've walked in fear. And I'm sorry, Lord. Wash me in your blood. I receive receive your forgiveness. Cleanse my bloodline of all fears, the stronghold of fear. Wash in the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me, Lord. Go deep within me. Take it all out, Lord, by the blood of Jesus. Now we're going to get mad at the devil. I want you right now just to keep your eyes closed and say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind all your demons, all your spirits of fears that have lived in me and in my home and have hindered me. I bind every one of you in the name of Jesus, and I command every one of you to leave me now, to come out of me, to leave me. I rebuke you in Jesus' name, and I command you to go. All of you go. Leave my home. Leave my family. And leave me. Jesus' name. Now let them go. Hallelujah. Just let them go. Yes, Father. Bring complete deliverance. All of you, leave them now. Break every bondage and command all fears to go. In the name of Jesus. Fear of death, go. In the name of Jesus. Fear of rejection, go. Fear of the future, go. Fear of being alone, go. Fear of abandonment, leave these people in the name of Jesus. I command torment to go. The torment to go in the name of Jesus. Oh, insecurity go. Inadequacy go. And inferiority go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Move by your spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift, keep your hands up. Let them go. Glory to God. Stamp your feet at them. Concentrate. Use your mind to run them out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All fear. Fear of failing. Loosen them. I command you in Jesus' name. Fear of failure. Fear of even trying. I can't do it. Those spirits that tell you can't do it. I can't. It's too hard. I command them to leave in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Release them, Lord. Release them from all the control over them, God. All the control, the witchcraft and control of living in a home of fear. Living in a relationship with fear. Release them right now. Release them from the mind control they're under and the mind power in the name of Jesus. Break it right now. In Jesus' name, loosen them right now. In the name of Jesus. Complete deliverance in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You guys walk through the audience and and just start praying over people. Leave her now in Jesus' name. Father, release her. I bind that spirit. Would tear her. That unclean spirit, I bind you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Just command them to leave in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Release him, Lord. Release him from all this fear right now.
How many women here had dominating fathers? If you had dominating fathers, if you're a woman with dominating father, I want you to come up here right now. If you had a dominating father, I want you to come up here right now. There's nothing against your father. Just sometimes you're raised, he's usually just a victim himself. I want you right up here, right close to me, right here. If you had dominating fathers, yes. Anybody else? There's others here I know. Had dominating fathers. It's all right. I went in front. Yes, I'm glad you came, honey. I knew you was one. Father, I want you to raise your hands, girls. We all agree with us here, okay? Everyone here. In reality, you've been abandoned. And I ask right now, Father God, to release every woman here from the spirit of abandonment. Not having the father that they needed, Father, to nurture them and to care for them. I want you to look at your dads, girls. Look at your dad. Close your eyes. Look at your father right now. And say these words. Say, Father, I forgive you. I forgive you for not being there. I forgive you for not nurturing me. I forgive you for not holding me and comforting me. I release you, Dad. I release you right now. I put you in the hands of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, God said He'd be a father to the fatherless. And He wants to touch you with the spirit of a father right now. I need some oil. I need some oil here. Let it go, honey. The Holy Spirit's going to caress you. Oh, da, 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 da. I need that wireless. Give me that wireless. Where's the wireless? It's okay. It's okay. Who has the wireless? Get my wife. Here it is. I want it on tape because... Release my sister right now here. Yes. From every scolding on this woman right now, Father God. All the scarring of her spirit, Father, I release her right now. I release her from every scolding. Yes, all molestation, Father God, of any kind, verbal or physical, Father. I release her in Jesus' name. Come on off of her now. There it comes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Carol, won't you come help us? Yes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, I want you to begin to receive your faith. Say, Father, fill me with faith. Fill me with your faith. Fill me with that faith. That's the opposite of fear, is faith. Say, Father, I want your faith, the real faith. I receive your faith. I receive your faith. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I come against that Antichrist spirit. I command to shut down right now. I rebuke it, command it out of this place. You will not shut women down any longer. You will be shut down. And God, I ask you right now, every hatred toward women's spirit must leave in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind you, I rebuke you, I command you to leave. I command you to leave. And every woman that hates men, the spirit of man-hating, I command that man-hating spirit to leave right now. The spirits that hate men, that's what caused them to go into lesbianism and everything else that gets involved. I command that spirit to be bound in Jesus' name. I rebuke you, command you to leave right now, Father. A hatred toward men, it must leave in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.